Good morning, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving wherever you are. It's the Tom and Shane podcast. Happy Thanksgiving podcast. We appreciate you being with us. And whoops, I'm banging my thing here, Shane. I gotta be careful. getting so excited here about Thanksgiving. I don't know what I'm doing. So, you've already had your Thanksgiving in Canada.
That's right. We had it back in October, yes.
Yeah.
The second Monday of October.
Yeah. Why is it in October? What's the history of the Canada Thanksgiving?
Well, it was sort of in concert with the remembrance of World War One and World War Two, but it goes back to the 1850s. It's just when it was decided we would celebrate our Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we've got some trivia for you. You want to start us off, Shane?
Yeah, I guess the most important thing, we're all watching, or you might, with particularly children or grandchildren, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It began in 1924, generally 2 to 3 miles long, so it's a long parade. It became famous for its balloons, and of course, a big tradition for people in New York City, of course, yesterday was to take the children down to Central Park and watch them inflate the giant balloons. But one thing people may not know is Gimbel's store. Gimbel's and Macy's were the two principal retail stores in the 19th and 20th century of New York. And Gimbel's, was founded in 1842. Well, over 180 years ago, it went defunct 35 years ago in 1987. I had the opportunity in 1985 to go to New York at Christmas time and see their windows. That's what they were famous for, those their incredible windows. But the reason I bring up Gimbel's is because they had actually the original Thanksgiving Day Parade, which started in 1920. And then Macy's parade came along in 24, but it's sort of interesting to recall, the fact that the real Macy's or the real, Thanksgiving Day parade was a Gimbel's parade.
It was a Gimbel's parade, yeah. So, well, Macy's almost went defunct here not too long ago, Shane, if you remember.
That's
back
right.
During the Great Recession. Macy's closed a bunch of stores. They were in trouble, so... I don't know. Well, the first national Thanksgiving in the United States was proclaimed by the Continental Congress in 1777. That was back in the day. Of course, 1776, we became a nation, I guess, or declared our independence from England. And I guess the Continental Congress was thankful, Shane, that we had that that independence coming.
I don't know. Is that me?
What?
Oh, the background sounds. I'm sorry. It's pretty cool because your first four presidents, of course, recognized it as a holiday. And that's what made it so special. But it wasn't until 1947 when Truman made it a national holiday.
Yeah, so. Well, after 1815, the presidents ceased their proclamations, but by 1850, almost every territory celebrated Thanksgiving. So, we were by the 10 years before the Civil War, 15 years before the Civil War, I guess, we were rocking and rolling with Thanksgiving.
That's right. And the wonderful thing about it was that it's become a national retail celebration, too. Tomorrow, of course, is Black Friday. That's what it became known as.
And Cyber Monday.
And then Cyber Monday, 20 years ago with the internet. So both Friday and Monday are the two big retail days of the year. And this is why, this holiday season, you're seeing a potential rebound in the market, which is a great opportunity for people to get out. Take advantage of this opportunity because if there's a rally between now and Christmas in the market, like there may be in retailing, you want to take advantage of it. But the amazing thing is it'll be a good Christmas holiday. The U.S. American people, you know, their credit card debt is about $1.2 trillion, but yeah, you know, they paid down like $600 million of it.
Yeah, you're not going to shortchange mom.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, also too, Shane, it's, we should note also that the biggest retail day of the year for alcohol sales is the day before Thanksgiving, because you got to load up and get all the relatives bombed around the table on Thanksgiving. Got to have the wine, got to have the after dinner drinks and the cocktails and the beer, and even bigger than the Super Bowl or 4th of July or any other holiday. We booze it up on Thanksgiving.
Well, the great Chef Childs, you know, you know, she announced, in the 20th century, back in the 1950s, that you should only have one appetizer on Thanksgiving Day, because, course, what you're going to eat later would probably amount to somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 calories of food.
Yeah. Well, back in 1827, Sarah Joseph Hale, editor of the popular women's magazine Gottie's Ladies' Book, began a campaign. Gottie's Ladies' Book. Who knew? Began a campaign to make Thanksgiving a national holiday, and she also wrote the "Mary Had a Little Lamb" that you recited as a kid, probably.
That's right.
All right, so what happened in 1863, Shane?
I'm trying to get there. You may have
seven.
To
number I'm seven.
I know, but I'm getting interrupted with all these ads because of this. So you go ahead and handle that.
Why are you getting ads?
I don't know. I'm just getting, and it's got sound, so I'm trying to clean up.
Oh, man. No, you
get it. Seven is 1863. Hale was able to convince President Lincoln, he was a Secretary of State at the time, that Thanksgiving might unite the country after the Civil War. So Lincoln did declare two national Thanksgivings that year, August 6th, celebrating the victory at Gettysburg. And then, of course, last Thursday in November, which became the tradition, was the last Thursday of November.
Yeah, I think he was president in 1863.
Yes, he was. 62, he got elected. That was his first year.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, talk about a transition of power. I mean, between 62 when he got elected and inaugurated, the Civil War started. I mean, this guy was busy.
He was a busy guy. So, well, in order to help the country economically, FDR lengthened the Christmas shopping season by declaring Thanksgiving for the next to last Thursday in November. And in 1941, Congress permanently established the holiday as the fourth Thursday in Thanksgiving. Now, FDR created a massive problem, Shane.
Yes.
Calendar makers had already made calendars with the last Thursday, and football, you know, the big football games on Thanksgiving had been in there as well. So he created quite a mess. Yeah, so it was, yeah, I don't know. He took some heat for that too. I personally wouldn't mind if it was the third Thursday, get a little more retail selling time in there. Wouldn't be a bad thing.
And the cool thing about it, and everybody knows it, and I'm excited because there's four games today, but the NFL started a tradition of the Detroit Lions and Dallas Cowboys playing in Detroit as an annual game on Thanksgiving, 83 years.
Yeah. They've been playing a long time.
Yeah. So the Cowboys, it's their 55th year. And I'm sorry, there's three games. Bills are playing the Lions today, and the Giants and Cowboys, and the Patriots and Vikings. So it's an all day NFL turkey fest. So there you go.
It will be. Yeah.
You can have your turkey early and then have your hot turkey sandwich later.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and also, too, it's a burden for these teams because they play on Sunday, and then they got 4 days to get ready for another game, but they get a long of 10 days till the next Sunday. So it's good and bad, I guess. So,
yeah. Well, Swanson was the one that, you know, helped initiate the annual turkey in 1953 because they – they started providing them and selling them packaged in aluminum trays. So you know, with side meals as well, mm-hmm. if you like. But the 260 tons they sold in 1953, and it was a big deal. Then they mm-hmm. came up with, of course, their TV dinner. Swanson's TV dinner was born, and you know, mm-hmm. it became a staple of meals. Was the Swanson meal in the 1950s? Buy them, you know, you have different types of meals besides turkey, and you slide them in the oven and warm them up, particularly for retired people and older people.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's sort of just become one of these amazing traditions of eating is Swanson's, and of course, till they went belly up, and then the Swanson meal disappeared.
Yeah, well, still around. We still have Swanson in our freezers, but well, you left out the most important part, Shane. A salesman came up with this idea and told them they should.
Yeah.
The 260 tons of turkeys was a mistake. Somebody bought too much of the turkey, so the salesman suggested they should put it in aluminum trays with side dishes, and they sold the heck out of it. So,
yeah, and his idea apparently, his epiphany was, you know, flying on an airline, and he got an airline meal on a train. He thought, oh, we could do this.
Why not? Yeah. Well, according to the Book of World Records, the heaviest turkey, Shane, weighed 86 pounds.
How did it walk around on those scrawny little legs?
I don't know, man.
You know, I mean, turkeys can fly, but not very far. You know,
that's for sure. Yeah. Well, as Les Nessman found out on WKRP Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought, as God of my witness, you know, I thought turkeys could fly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, for Halloween when people talk about the biggest pumpkins, you know, this year had one so big, it was like over 600 pounds. He cut out and floated down a river in it.
Wow.
How funny is this? Yeah. I don't see that. I don't see someone riding a big turkey down a river, but I guess they could.
Tell us about the green bean casserole, Shane.
Well, it's one of those big ones. And if you put almond shavings in it, it's it's just amazing. A child's put it in her recipe book, and you know, it's a big help when it originally came out with Campbell's soup, because of the 20 mm-hmm. million worth of cream of mushroom soup that people bought to put in casseroles. And it's a great addition, you know. It's like using you know, Campbell's soup instead of paste in your tomato sauce.
Yeah. Well, the big thing, I guess, if you want to sell a product, make a recipe out of it, Shane.
So. That's right. Exactly. It's always, you know,
yeah. Well, 50 years ago, 20 million bucks worth of cream of mushroom soup. So everybody's got that going for them. So, well, cranberries were probably not eaten at the first Thanksgiving, as they were too bitter. Native Americans used the berries as a dye and to heal wounds, Shane. So Thanksgiving cranberry sauce came along a little later, after it was refined and sweetened a little bit, I guess, and made better.
That's right. And the remarkable thing about cranberries, and one of the reasons they've been made successful as a addition to the meal, is they're grown in large areas, you know, like blueberries and different shrub berries. But cranberries are unique because when they're ready to ripen, they flood the area, and the cranberries come off the bush and float to the surface. So guys get out there in those big, you know, pants with mm-hmm. you know, with nets, and just scoop them up and collect them. So, yeah, it's a less expensive or least expensive of the sides that you get, which is why they're, you know, mm-hmm. they're still not as expensive. I like cranberry sauce myself.
I like the cranberries themselves better. I don't know. It's too much like Jell-O.
You like biting on
them. Yeah, I do. I like biting stuff. So. Cranberry sauce, too much like Jell-O. I don't know. It's, you know,
yeah,
you push it and it wiggles. I don't know. I don't like that on my plate. So, All right. Thanksgiving, busiest travel day of the year, Shane. They were reporting it's almost pre-pandemic numbers that people are traveling this Thanksgiving.
That's right. And the advent of the car and the Model T particularly is what caused that on, you know, over 120 years ago. You know, so people can get in their car. And that would probably, when you think about all the things that create these holidays and the impact, you know, obviously the cars had a huge one. So unfortunately for the government, your government, your president, everyone's going to be reminded today of how expensive it is because of gas to visit grandma or grandpa, right?
I know, it's going to be pricey. Well, airlines too. Airlines
that's
are,
right.
are certainly and what, full, but it's expensive.
And another reason for that too is it's like a 5-day holiday because people usually take one day off as well. And because it's on a Thursday, it's unlike Christmas and New Year's, which are on the same day of the week. But they don't always fall on a, you know, a Thursday or Wednesday. Yeah. I mean, when they do, you know, it expands that holiday to people that work. But that's another reason why it's such a busy travel day, because people fly and they go for, you know, fly on Wednesday, get home on Monday sort of thing. And, yeah, you know, it's like a 4 or 5 day holiday for people.
Yeah. I'm wondering why they didn't make it on Friday as opposed to Thursday. Seems like that would be a no-brainer. You're off a full weekend to enjoy your holiday. But there are a lot of people, of course, that work on Thanksgiving, firemen, police, border, all the law enforcement people and doctors and nurses and all those folks work on Thanksgiving.
That's right. And, you know, the first Thanksgiving was actually a 3-day holiday. You know, they had the Sabbath day where they prayed. And I think that's why it's on Thursday. They had the Wednesday Sabbath and the celebration on Thursday. And then Friday was the day that they would visit the, you know, their neighbors, the Wampapanga, you know, Native Americans that taught them to grow maize, which is what saved them. You know, corn was it, baby. If they hadn't had that, they would have starved. And great thing about maize, corn, is you can store it. It's like potatoes. But potatoes didn't fare well in that climate, although they tried to grow them. But maize was the thing that saved them, and the Indians showed them how to grow it. And, you know, that and wheat were the two mainstays of people on the Mayflower, who didn't have a good winter. I mean,
they didn't.
You know, they came. The Mayflower, of course, was a ship. Imagine this, 90 feet long, and it had three decks. And you know, there was like 155 people came over on it. And you know, they left England because, you know, they were members of the Church of England and Puritans. And, you know, they were harassed. And you'd think that today, instead of saying they're terrible people, the woke people would say, these people came here to get freedom, you know, from being harassed. But no. And, you know, there was never really a disenchantment between the original natives, even those of Jamestown, because, you know, the Native Americans had some pretty remarkable government of their own at the time. I mean, the tribes were well established, and it wasn't until the 1800s and Jackson that, you know, created the problem.
Well, Jingle Bells was originally a Thanksgiving song, Shane, composed for children to sing in a Boston Sunday school celebration. Imagine so you don't think that. Of Jingle Bells as being November, but maybe so. You know, it doesn't have any reference to a holiday in it, so I guess it's appropriate. So maybe we should start singing Jingle Bells on Thanksgiving as a tradition. What do you think? What do you think?
I think that's a pretty cool tradition. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, this sets off the beginning of the holidays, Thanksgiving. Right? Yeah. So, you know, between now and, of course, Christmas Day is the great commercial year part of the year. That's why retailers tend to do really well. And and in anticipation of their sales and anticipation of the outcome of their sales, their stocks tend to go up. And it's an interesting situation for the economy because, oh my goodness, consumption is accelerated between now and Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the other sad thing is once we get the holidays out of the way, Shane, it's 6 months before we get another 3-day holiday. Well, for the working people, the banks get, they get Arbor Day and Sparrow Day and, you know, Pancake Day off. But the rest of us have to endure almost 6 full months before we get another 3-day weekend. So it's pretty tough. And winter's in there, too. So
that's right.
That sucks.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't until a fictional account appeared in the best-selling Standish of Standish. Oh, that makes sense. Standish of Standish, of course, 1889. Story about the Pilgrims, that the Pilgrims' first Thanksgiving became associated with a holiday. However, this idea did not become popular until after World War II.
Again, you know, that's what's so amazing about the 20th century is how a lot of American traditions became essential. They became essential to the whole issue of, different things that went on and, you know, what was going on in the country. And I think that one of the things that is traditional to your country is like Election Day. You know, it's the first Tuesday of November. And so I think that it's become a very important aspect of your culture that you have all these standing days of holiday, you know, from Thanksgiving's mm-hmm. Day to Christmas, and, you know, you have Valentine's Day and, you know, Halloween and all these different mm-hmm. remarkable things to bring people together and create a huge amount of consumption. The billions spent are just, that's what established your economy.
Yeah, we'll spend more money on Thanksgiving than Biden sent to Ukraine.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's astounding. And tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, our favorite thing to wait and see, you know, in the news are the wedding dresses that were made famous in Chicago that were on sale, right?
I know. Well, Sandy says, happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen. If you were near, I'd cook for you both. There you go, Shane. So, Sandy's going to take care of us. Can't beat that.
No, I mean, this is one of those times that people can be creative and create side dishes and that become really popular. I mean, you know. It's amazing too, because even a small family of four or more will have anywhere from a 15 to 20 pound turkey. And then of course, 30 years ago, it became popular to deep fry them. Of course, the big mistake people made initially not knowing was don't put them in frozen, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, the outside looks great. The inside is raw meat. So, yeah.
And the great thing about turkey is it's very lean, meaning there's not a lot of fat in the meat. So it provides more protein than even chicken or beef.
Yeah, it does.
And people should eat it more often because you can eat on a turkey or from a turkey for several days.
For a long time,
And then you can create a soup. I mean, when I traveled in Eastern Europe, they always had a pot in the back right corner on the stove all the time. And they put everything in it. You know, they didn't waste anything. All the cuttings from vegetables and all the cuttings from meats and everything. And it didn't matter. Whatever was left, the fat, everything went into the pot. And, you know, they would use that to create, you know, have a base to create soups, because soups were always a big thing, you know, since Phoenicians and Egyptians. You know, soup was a major meal. It was the Americans that came up with the concept of stew. So turkey stew is great. You know?
Yeah. Well, turkey chili too. They put it in chili it'll go in anything. Go in salads. You can, you can use virtually, use it for, you know, days. You can eat on it for days and it's good for you. That's the good thing. Yeah. There's only two accounts of the 1621 Thanksgiving, Shane. Edward Winslow wrote about it in a letter dated December 12, 1621. published in 1622. And William Bradford wrote about it in his History of the Plymouth Plantation. Bradford's account mentions turkey as one of the meats eaten. I think the Indians brought deer and lobster and some other tasty delicacies.
That's right. And a lot of vegetables that, again, became, you know, new to the pilgrims, you know, like melons things like zucchini, you know, stem vegetables became, you know, they brought to them. So, yeah, there's so many remarkable things about this that made this possible for people to grow and create a functional society. And then they ended up, you know, exporting turkeys to home because, you know, they could keep them, you know, you could cook them and keep them and store them on a ship, you know, because it was a 100-day boat cruise across the ocean, of course, back then.
Yeah. Well, before they had balloons, before they had balloons, the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, as we mentioned earlier, 1924, 400 Macy employees marched from Convent Avenue to 145th Street in New York with animals from the Central Park Zoo, Shane. They had, I guess, giraffes and elephants and who knows what all they brought from the zoo. Snakes, probably. Snakes were probably big.
Well, that's right. And another thing that, I guess, you know, this would be sort of like a precursor to your national parks was, you know, the Plymouth, Massachusetts celebration of Thanksgiving, where, you know, it started early in the 19th century and people would buy tickets to get there. And you know, they'd have, you know, like the Quebecers have, you know, in the celebration of maple. You know, they'd have big tables of food and everyone for people to celebrate around. And again, celebrations are such a remarkable thing, and to the benefit of so many people. It's one of these things that you're so grateful for.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, it took 66 days for the Mayflower to cross the Atlantic Ocean. 101 men, women, and children on board. I'm surprised it only took 66 days, Shane. That's 2 months. That doesn't seem. When you look at the expanse of the Atlantic Ocean, they made pretty good time, I would say.
Well, they did, but it would always, of course, be determined by the winds, right?
So I mean, they must have great winds.
Yeah, that's right. They would go to the Virgin Islands and sort of jump off from there and then head across the, you know, the Great Atlantic, which... You know, it's not easy. Not easy.
No, it wasn't an easy trip, I'm sure. I always wondered how much food you plan on, because you assume how long the trip is going to take because somebody made it before. But, you know, just rationing the food for 101 people on a 94-foot boat, That's a logistical anomaly there. I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's just when you think of how small these boats were, you know, for 400 years. I mean, it's incredible. But you know,
yeah, Bezos has got a 200-foot yacht.
That's right. You know, inherent desire to travel and explore. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And today, you know, you're traveling.
Oops, we lost Shane. Well, he'll be back, I hope. I don't know where he went, but we lost him. So hopefully he'll pop back in. As we mentioned earlier, the Pilgrims were also called Puritans because they wanted to purify the Church of England from a Catholic influence. Those that wanted to separate from the Anglican Church, of course, were called separatists, and that's what we refer to them as today. Some facts about turkeys: a 15-pound turkey, 70% white meat, 30% dark meat. Turkey has more protein than chicken or beef that we mentioned earlier, and turkeys have about 3,500. Feathers at maturity, and the five most popular ways to serve leftover turkey: a sandwich, stew, chili, or soup, casseroles, and a burger. So those are some of the fun things you can do with your leftovers on Thanksgiving. I think he came back. He is back. There he is. Where'd you go?
It's been really weird. I've had these window popping up, and I don't know from where. And I can hear them, but you can't. And then all of a sudden, I got booted. So
yeah, so
I recovered. So hopefully
okay, good. So,
good. Yeah, just in time for football. I recovered just in time for football.
Yeah, you need an ad protection thing on your let's see, we're on 21, Shane. Native Americans and colonists might not have actually had turkey during their Thanksgiving feast. The tribes reportedly brought deer to the celebration, and they also added swan, seal, lobsters, and other seafood to make the Christmas that much more enjoyable. I don't know, Shane. Not a big seafood eater on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right. And the other interesting aspects of the turkey is why do they gobble? You know, they gobble because they want to attract other female turkeys. All birds do that. And then the male, you know, he shows off their big feathers and wings. And, mm-hmm. You know, typical male, right? Look at how well dressed I am. You know.
I know. You're ready.
You want me as your lover because I'm the best dressed guy.
You're ready for the you dress the part. That's for sure.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, part of the Plymouth Mass still looks the same way it did in the 19th century, Shane. You can even order a ticket as early as June to visit the historic attraction site, and you can have your Thanksgiving dinner there. What a deal!
That's right.
That?
And in 1896, they had their first turkey trot. Ha, do you know what that is?
Okay.
It's a race.
Yeah.
It's a race of the fastest turkey, you know, and of course that ended up creating mouse and rat races and all kinds of toad races.
Oh, yeah, and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, created a whole new industry.
There you go. Well, the first ever Thanksgiving parade balloons were made by the Good Housekeeping illustrator Tony Sarge, who seemingly had a passion for puppetry, too. He made the first balloons float balloon floats that came to life in the 1927 parade. So there you go.
Yeah. And it's sort of interesting to know that people may not know this. the principal utensil at the time was a spoon. The fork was developed by the Phoenicians and the Egyptians, but it wasn't really popular with Europeans until the 18th century. And then it was a two-tong spoon. You know, now you have a two-tong spoon, a three-tong spoon, and a four-tong spoon.
Yeah.
So one is for seafood, and one's for salad, and one's for the main course. And, of course, you learn all these things when you go to restaurant school.
Well, yeah. Well, why do the Chinese still use chopsticks? I mean, they've seen the fork. I mean, they've seen the fork, and they've seen the spoon. Why these two sticks?
Yeah, that's right. It's a remarkable thing. And of course, the West picked it up in the 19th century as fashionable. Yeah. You know, but both my girls could use chopsticks by the time they're 6 or 7 because, you know, we went to have sushi every week. So, they had to learn to, you know. But most people, up until the 18th century, you know, ate with their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Which we all know is a practical result of survival. Just, you know, there was no real table manners.
Well, that's for sure.
You just picked pieces of the bird up and, you know, ate it.
Oh, yeah. No, we used to eat sushi all the time. You know, I'd pick it up after work. We'd take it home, fry it up. It was great.
That's right. And by the way, just, you know, the waddle on a turkey is the skin below the neck. You know, everyone compares some people's next to a turkey. Well, it's when you do it, it's a waddle. If someone has a sagging neck, skin under the, it's a waddle. And the top of the beak, that little red brown top on the beak is called the snood.
Well, our last item of the day, the Butterball Turkey Talk Line receives over 100,000 calls every season. The company is an underrated Thanksgiving superhero. They explain to at least 100,000 people why their turkey isn't turning out as expected, Shane. It's not. Your dinner is not going to be good. So we're sorry about that.
And my final turkey news is that the feathers on the male's turkey breast are called beard or a tassel. So imagine that. So
we got to know that. Yeah.
Yeah. they have a wattle and it has feathers. It's a beard or tassel.
There you go. Brian says, happy low frying buzzard day. We're happy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Glad to have you along with us. Appreciate that very much. So, all right, Shane, what are you thankful for, man?
Well,
I realize it's not your Thanksgiving day, but
turkeys are really smart. And one of the phenomenal things about turkeys is their eyesight. They can see 270 degrees, which we can't, our peripheral vision is only 90.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're really hard. They're really hard to hunt. And most people will tell you that, shooting a turkey or catching a turkey or finding a turkey isn't easy because they see you coming.
They do see you coming. That's for sure. So, all right. Well, this Thanksgiving day, Shane, I got to be thankful for you. Great friend. Make radio easier. You make these podcasts better.
You're too
20
kind.
Years, 20 years, at least 15 on the air, I think, doing these podcasts twice a week. Really great to have you here. And Randall says, happy Thanksgiving to you all. Thanks, Randall, for joining us. We appreciate that very much. And we
want to welcome Sandy back, and know that she's feeling better. And all the people that are our family, happy Thanksgiving. You've made this possible. You stood with us and shared, I hope, our conversations, which we really appreciate. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping in the new year we'll be able to have more third-party participants.
Yeah,
that would be fun to do that and continue adding to our library because it's virtual, but it's forever.
Yeah, it is forever.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. You made my life special with the podcast and Saturday show.
Yeah,
I do. A lot of research
just to wonder
about what we can talk about and learn every day. Which I'm not sure I would if I didn't have this show to enjoy as much as I do. So very grateful to you. It's just been a wonderful time and a giggle too.
It is fun. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, some of the things we're thankful for, we'll be very thankful if you subscribe on YouTube. we'll be happy about that. We'll also be very thankful if you leave a comment on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook, where we are live every Tuesday and Thursday. We would greatly appreciate that. We're very thankful for your continued support of both the radio show and our podcast here. We really appreciate you guys very much being here with us, and it's a lot of fun. We'd be very thankful if you listen to our radio show, wherever you are. Look at the crawl below. Instructions are there. We're live on the radio every Saturday, 8 to 11, Mountain Time. All you got to do is click on listen, KMMSAM.com, and click listen now. Nothing to join, nothing to tell us who you are or anything about it. You can call us. You can text us. It is wonderful.
And I just want to, if I could, Einstein said at the end of his life after becoming a Christian that if you don't believe in miracles, go to your front door, open it, look out, and everything you see is a miracle. Meaning, literally, everything that we see every moment of every day is a miracle, whether it's man-made or naturally made. And so for the 21st century to give a couple of old guys, the opportunity to be able to do this, on a global basis, every time we do this, that one of the first things is I'm getting ready in the morning with all my technology and on two computers and my earphones and my diary and my, microphone and making sure it all looks right. My shirt, my background. I just go, this is incredible. I'm going to go around the world with my friend Tom. It's like traveling around the sun every year for your birthday. It's a miracle. Thank
it
you.
Is. Yeah, it is a miracle. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that everybody can do what we're doing right now. Right. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. We use StreamYard, by the way. There's a free link in the description below for a free version. If you want to check that out, you'll certainly enjoy using it. It's easy to use. It's pretty seamless. It's better than the other ones that we've used in the past. We sincerely hope that you'll subscribe and ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we're on, regardless what time zone you're in. So do that and like us, leave a comment. YouTube and Facebook really appreciate that. It helps us go up in the ratings and everything. So we would appreciate that. So,
well, I love your overall rant, but props up to the great Eagle Man, Thomas Eaglehoff. You know, Tom and his elves get this show produced.
Yes, we do.
He directs it. He puts it on. He puts it up every day. So he puts it on Facebook so we can see it and then share it. And he's a remarkable human being. He's not just technically brilliant. He's verbally brilliant. And he's got that incredible voice, which he's won awards for because it's so luscious.
I have won awards for my luscious voice.
That's right, baby.
It's better in the morning than it is later in the day.
No frogs in that throat.
No frogs here. So, all right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody in the United States. Happy Thursday to everybody in Canada. And we'll see you on our next podcast on Tuesday. And we will hear you on the radio on Saturday. So we hope you'll join us on our weekly radio show, KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now, and that's it. Nothing else to do. So we will see you.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas too. So it's okay, we can say that now that Thanksgiving is here.
Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll be back.